Welcome to Journal Club with Happy. I'm your host, Happy Kasai, and I'm a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. This podcast is structured as a short scientific journal club where I will discuss scientific papers and relate their major findings. Generally, journal clubs have a scientific audience ranging from undergraduate science students to university professors, and the communication during journal clubs is very specific to the field of study. For this podcast, I try very hard to use everyday language to explain current science. It's not going to be easy, and you'll see me fail, but hopefully it will get better over time. I'm also a science student, so in this podcast, we learn science together. For the next few episodes, I'll be covering current articles on the topic of Alzheimer's disease. The papers I've picked are all basic science papers, so we can take a glimpse of the field from a more fundamental perspective. To start us off, I have picked a molecular paper on Alzheimer's disease. It comes out of Dr. Zhao Wang's lab at MIT, and the first author on the paper is Hu Zhang. The paper was published on Nature Neuroscience in February 2023, and a side note here, it was part of the final exam that I took last week. The title of the paper is Integrative In Situ Mapping of Single-Cell Transcriptional States and Tissue Histopathology in a Mouse Model of Alzheimer's Disease. There's a lot going on in that title, but two things stick out. The first is single-cell transcriptional states, and the second one is tissue histopathology. These are not simple terms to define, and both expressions were used here because they describe the approach that the research team used to study Alzheimer's disease in a mouse model. They're very technical expressions, so I'll describe their purpose and their relevance to this study when I explain the techniques. But before that, I'll provide a brief introduction to Alzheimer's disease and how it is studied in the setting of a science laboratory. That will set us up for when we get to the techniques and the results that were published from this study. Alzheimer's disease is the most common neurodegenerative disease. Most people are familiar with the symptoms of the disease, especially with the dementia symptoms. Patients lose their memory and other faculties that are important to functionally operate in this world. It's a very hard disease for patients. The experience is also quite difficult for family members and caretakers. The disease is prevalent in the elderly. It's one of the diseases that come with aging. Some forms of the disease are genetic and could be passed down in a family from one generation to the next, but most cases are not genetic. People develop this disease as they get old. In the beginning, I said Alzheimer's is the most common neurodegenerative disease. I will elaborate on what that means. Neurodegenerative diseases are a family of diseases that damage the nervous system, especially the brain. Patients with neurodegenerative diseases lose their neurons to the disease. In other words, their nerve cells die from the disease. For today, we'll be talking about Alzheimer's, but there are other neurodegenerative diseases, including Parkinson's and Huntington's, and I'm sure we'll get to cover them in future episodes of this journal club. There has been a lot of research to understand the cause of Alzheimer's disease, but so far, we still have not found it. We understand that it progresses from simple to severe, but the root cause of the disease has not been discovered yet. With that said, there are multiple hypotheses out there. Some claim that Alzheimer's starts in the gut and travels to the brain. Others speculate an infectious virus that leads to Alzheimer's. But the most prominent hypothesis so far is called the amyloid hypothesis. Amyloid is a protein in the brain. Under healthy conditions, amyloid protects the body from infections. It supports the blood-brain barrier so that unwanted substances do not enter the brain from our blood. It's also involved in the function of synapses, which are points of communication between neurons. All these benefits are true under healthy conditions. However, in the case of Alzheimer's disease, this amyloid protein gets into a structure that lets it aggregate and form plaques. These plaques are accumulations. They are accumulations of multiple fibers of aggregated amyloid protein. Amyloid plaque formation is the major hallmark of Alzheimer's. I must remind you here that these plaques are not necessarily the cause of Alzheimer's. In fact, amyloid plaques have been observed in healthy brains. By healthy brains, I'm referring to brains of individuals without Alzheimer's disease. But we think of amyloid plaques as hallmarks of Alzheimer's. We think of it as an early manifestation of the disease, even before the cognitive symptoms become apparent. Our current understanding is that these plaques start forming decades before Alzheimer's symptoms are visible. The amyloid aggregation precedes the dementia symptoms by 2 to 3 decades. With that said about the amyloid protein, the other major molecular hallmark of Alzheimer's is tau tangles. Tau is also a protein in neurons. It's a protein that helps with cellular transport. In the case of Alzheimer's disease, tau gets hyperphosphorylated, which is a technical term that means that more phosphate groups are added to the protein. This hyperphosphorylation causes the tau protein to aggregate and form filaments and tangles. What makes the tau tangles different from the amyloid plaques that I described earlier is their location. Tau tangles are intracellular, so they're located in the neurons, while the amyloid plaques are extracellular, which means that amyloid protein is secreted from the neurons and the plaques form outside of the neurons. These two hallmarks of Alzheimer's have been studied for a long time, and the research has allowed us to design mouse models of the disease. Normal mice do not develop Alzheimer's in a lab. They have to be genetically modified to express hyperphosphorylated tau and the precursor protein for amyloid. Just to give you an example, in this particular study, they use a mouse model called tau-PS2-APP. This mouse model expresses mutant forms of human tau, human presenilin, and human amyloid precursor protein. You do not need to remember the name of these mice or what kinds of proteins they're expressing. It's not important for today's discussion. I just wanted to share with you how Alzheimer's mouse models are constructed in the laboratory. The best Alzheimer's models that we have so far overexpress the disease-associated versions of the human proteins, and the rate at which Alzheimer's disease develops in model mice depends on their genetics. If we can have a lot of the proteins to be expressed, then the mice will have the amyloid plaques and the tau tangles earlier in their lifetime. As you may imagine, this makes studying the disease in the laboratory easy, because you can have a model in a few months. It might be 5 to 8 months. However, there's a caveat here. Like I've told you before, Alzheimer's naturally occurs during old age, and a young mouse with Alzheimer's symptoms does not accurately model the human disease. So there's a trade-off between efficiency and accuracy in how Alzheimer's disease models are created. I hope that gives you some introduction to Alzheimer's disease and how it is studied in the lab with model animals. Now let's get into the specifics of this particular study. In this study, the Alzheimer's mouse models had amyloid plaques and tau tangles by 8 months of age. And the experiments that I will describe later were conducted at 8 months old and 13 months old. Like I said, at 8 months old, the two hallmarks of Alzheimer's, which are the amyloid plaques and the tau tangles, are apparent. And at 13 months old, the disease has advanced to a severe form, and there is a lot of neuroinflammation in the brain of the mice. I'll also add here that healthy control mice were used in the same experimental setup to compare healthy and diseased conditions. The ingenuity in this paper is the technique that the researchers used to study Alzheimer's at a single cell level. The technique is called STARMUP+, which is an acronym for Specially Resolved Transcript Amplicon Readout Mapping with Protein Localization and Unlimited Sequencing. It's a mouthful, and the exact name of the method is not necessary for understanding today's discussion, but as always, I'll describe how the method works because it's a very valuable tool. And it was actually developed by the Wang lab at MIT, the same lab that published this paper. The method works by analyzing gene expression and protein localization in brain slices. Here, there are three groups of targets in this technique. The first group has amyloid plaques and hyperphosphorylated tau. I mentioned earlier that they are the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. The research team imaged these two proteins under a microscope after staining the brain slices using either fluorescent antibodies or chemical dyes that detect the protein aggregates. Taking you back to the title, this approach of looking at proteins in brain tissue describes one of the expressions used in the title, and that expression is tissue histopathology. The second group of targets is RNA in the brain slices. Same as humans, the genetic code of mice is stored in the cells in the form of DNA. You may have heard of DNA testing in the context of ancestry and family relationships. That DNA contains all the information that we need to operate at the molecular level in the form of genes. This is also true for mice. However, not all genes are used at a single time. Some genes are needed for liver cells, some are needed in skin cells, some are needed in muscle cells. So there is a cell-specific expression of genes. And if you follow that principle, you can expect a set of genes that are needed for the different types of brain cells. In the brain, we have the neurons and the glial cells. The neurons are the primary cells responsible for our behavior and our thinking. The glial cells are less known, and the glial cells are helper cells to the neurons. There are multiple types of glial cells. For today, we'll be talking about microglia, astrocytes, and oligodendrocytes. Microglia are the immune system in the brain. They migrate in the brain and respond to infection or the clearing of unwanted waste. They are the cells that we would expect to clear out the protein aggregates that form in the case of Alzheimer's disease. Astrocytes are another class of glial cells. I talked about them in last week's Journal Club. And they provide nutrients for neurons. They also clear waste and participate at synapses, which are points of neuron-to-neuron communication. The last class of glia are the oligodendrocytes. Oligodendrocytes produce a fatty structure called myelin. Myelin wraps around the axons of neurons and helps in fast communication. Think of it like an insulating plastic cover to copper electric wires. All these cells will express a different set of genes, and those genes could be detected and profiled by a technique called single-cell transcriptomics. So in this study, the research team could identify the genes that are present in the brain slices and determine what kind of brain cells are in that particular slice by matching them with the genes. Again, I would like to take you back to the title. The second expression that I mentioned was single-cell transcriptional states, and that expression describes this approach of identifying cells based on their genes. So far, I've told you about two out of the three targets in this technique. They are the protein aggregates and the genes. The third group of targets in this technique is the proteins. These proteins are products of the genes that I described earlier. And all the genes are used to make proteins that would execute some function in cells. The research team targeted the proteins of interest in the brain slices using fluorescent antibodies and observed their location under a microscope. This technique gives us the specific location of the proteins at the subcellular level, and we can tell which proteins are present and where those proteins are located. With that said, all three groups of data could be collected at the same time from the same sample. And as the title indicates, the data could be integrated to paint a more comprehensive picture. The integration gives us information at both the gene expression level and also the location of the proteins at the cellular level. I know that was a lot of information on the techniques, and you won't have to remember all the details. So I'll give you a one-sentence summary of the methods used in this study. The research team identified the expression of genes from different cell types and the cellular location of proteins in brain slices of Alzheimer's disease model mice. Now that we're introduced to the study and the techniques used, let's look at the results. So what did the research team find? The primary finding of this study is a core shell organization of glial cells around amyloid plaques. I will elaborate what that means. The amyloid plaques that I described earlier as the major hallmark of Alzheimer's disease are surrounded by glial cells. Here I would like to remind you that glial cells are the helper cells in the brain. And in this study, we look at three types of glial cells, and their names are microglia, astrocytes, and oligodendrocytes. These glial cells surround the amyloid plaques and form a shell around the protein aggregates. I'll give you a familiar analogy to better visualize this. Think of the protein plaques as the yolk of an egg. Around the yolk, we have the egg white, which in this example would be the disease-associated microglia. And surrounding the egg white, we have the eggshell. The eggshell in this example would be the astrocytes and oligodendrocytes. A subpopulation of microglia are found immediately surrounding the amyloid plaques. Microglia are very important in this context because they are the immune system in the brain. If anything foreign is found in the brain, microglia are responsible for clearing it out. So a specific subpopulation of microglia that are expressing disease-associated genes are present in direct contact with the amyloid plaques. Here I use the term subpopulation, because the microglia that are found in close proximity to the plaques have a different gene expression profile. The authors note that this subpopulation expresses genes of cell migration and regulation of cell death. This tells us that the immune system in the brain is activated and it is launching an inflammatory response. The shell of this organization is made up of the two other types of glial cells, which are astrocytes and oligodendrocytes. Just as in the case with microglia, there were specific subpopulations of astrocytes and oligodendrocytes near the plaques. They were expressing genes that are disease-associated. The astrocytes were expressing genes responsible for the proliferation of glia so that they can replace dead glial cells, while the subpopulation of oligodendrocytes were expressing genes involved in myelin formation and axon protection. The main point of this primary finding is how glial cells organize themselves around amyloid plaques. The microglia, which are the immune cells in the brain, are activated and recruited to the amyloid plaques. The microglia, in turn, recruit astrocytes and oligodendrocytes to form the shell structure around the core of microglia. All in all, the glial cells are activated and ready to protect the neurons from damage. So far, I've only told you about glial cells and their proximity to the amyloid plaques. I have not said anything about the major cells in the brain, which are the neurons. Surprisingly, there were less neurons around the plaques. This could be due to damage from the plaques. I'll remind you here that the amyloid plaques are inflammatory and lead to the degeneration of neurons. The research team then looked at how the tau tangles affect different kinds of neurons. The tau tangles, I'll remind you, are the other hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. Instead of aggregating outside of neurons like the amyloid plaques, they form the tangles inside the neurons. And these tangles disturb multiple cellular processes and damage neurons. From the analysis, the research team found that excitatory neurons in the hippocampus are the most affected by the tau tangles. These excitatory neurons are types of neurons located in the hippocampus, which is the region of the brain that is responsible for memory. This is an important result because memory loss is one symptom of Alzheimer's, and tau protein aggregates affect the neurons involved in the maintenance of memory. The gene expression profile of the neurons also changed when there are tau tangles present. They were expressing genes involved in formation of synapses. Synapses are point locations where two neurons communicate, and these synapses are damaged by the tau tangles. And the neurons are actively repairing the components of these synapses so that they can maintain their function. There are two take-home points from today's paper. One is the core shell organization of glial cells around amyloid plaques, and the other is the type of excitatory neurons affected by the tau tangles. Those were the results from this study. I understand that it was a long molecular paper, but I think it gives us a good view of what's happening in Alzheimer's disease at the level of single cells. This study gives good input for future studies and also drug development, because neurodegeneration is a burning question both in the clinic and the research field. Papers like this make me hopeful about the prospect of neuroscience, and I hope it had the same effect on you. As always, I'll add a PubMed link to the original article under the episode notes if you want to check out the names of the specific genes or investigate the STARMAP Plus technique in detail. You can refer to the paper directly. I'll also add a link to the Wang Lab webpage so that you can check out more of their work. Until next week, ciao.